Hebrews 13. The book of Hebrews is mostly about doctrine, talks about faith, chapter 11. But the last two chapters go into the practical side of the Christian life. And chapter 13 especially is the practical side of living for the Lord Jesus Christ, putting our faith to practice. Amen? So we're going to look at the first 16 verses together and pray and dive in. Verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I'm going to take my title from verse 16, Such Sacrifices. Let's pray. Lord, we love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We thank you for your word that you've preserved for us and allowed us to have a copy of. And we pray now the Holy Spirit would use the powerful word to penetrate our hearts, speak to us, change us, comfort us, convict us, whatever the need might be. We give it to you. May you be glorified and lifted up in this service and honored. And we ask for you to guide this service. We love you, and we thank you for all your kindness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oftentimes, especially in the Western world, it's easy for Christians to forget that God expects us to make sacrifices for him. Never in the Bible are we told, if you become a Christian, your life is going to be cruisy until Jesus comes. It doesn't say that. It actually says the opposite in many places. Most of us know Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's us. We are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. In this passage, God reveals to us, I found seven, but I'm sure there's more, but I like the number seven. Seven ways in which God expects us to sacrifice for him. But we need to ask ourselves the question, is that scriptural? Is that what God wants? Well, we look at the Old Testament saints. Did he ask them to make sacrifices for him? The answer is, of course, yes. Abraham comes to mind. I want you to sacrifice your only son. We get to the New Testament. Did he expect the apostles to make sacrifices for him? Most of them went to prison. Most, if not all of them, were martyred for their faith. So the answer is, of course, yes. Another question, did Jesus sacrifice for us? Well, he sacrificed all, did he not? And he mentions that down there in verse 12 of our passage. It says, Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us never forget, Jesus Christ sacrificed blasphemy and abuse and pain and being forsaken because he became sin. He suffered all of that sacrifice for us. And so God now, in this passage says, God is pleased, as we see in verse 16, with such sacrifices is God pleased. God is pleased when we make sacrifices for him. And God is not mean. He's not angry. He's loving and he's kind. But he's also worthy of our sacrifices. And you got to look at things from God's perspective. From God's perspective, if you're a born again Christian, you're already a citizen of heaven. As he mentioned there in one of the verses, that this world is not our home. And from God's perspective, we're going to spend forever with him in heaven. That'll be our time of rest. That'll be our time of not sacrificing, if you will. But for this time, until we get there, God looks at it as just a blip on the radar screen, if you will. God expects us to make some sacrifices. So let's talk about the seven sacrifices in this passage. Verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. I'm calling this first one the sacrifice of kindness. And we talked about this at the men's fellowship Friday night. Say, how can that be a sacrifice? Well, the flesh wants to be unkind, does it not? The flesh wants to be mean. But we as God's children are commanded to always be kind. Notice he says, let brotherly love continue. Verse 2, he talks about entertaining non-brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have a need. He says, be careful. If you see someone with a need, even an unsaved person out in the world, help them out. And then he talks in verse 3 about having empathy with our brothers and sisters. He says, those that are bound, be bond with them. And those that suffer as yourselves being in the body. In other words, care about each other, but always be kind. He says down in verse 16, to do good and to communicate, forget not. That word communicate is an older usage of the word. It's not talking about what we say with our mouths, but what we do with our lives. And by communicate, he means be a blessing to others through your actions. And one of the most important sacrifices that we could make is the sacrifice of kindness. Because our flesh would rather be mean. Our flesh would rather be unkind. But God wants us to sacrifice and always show kindness to others, even those that we disagree with. It doesn't matter. Just an example, go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Paul here is referring to the church that sent him a special gift, and the Philippians. And notice what he says about the gift in Philippians 4, 18. He says, but I am full and I abound. I said, I've received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto the Lord. Thank you, he says, for the sacrifice that you made to be kind to me, to be a blessing to me as God's apostle. We read in 1 John 3, whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You see your brother have a need, he says, and if you don't meet the need, he says, where's your love? Where's your compassion? And so the first sacrifice we see in this passage is simply the sacrifice of always striving to be kind to everyone. The second one we see, verse 4 and 5, he says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Did you know that most people, when they quote Hebrews 13:5, they only quote that phrase? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. People quote it all the time. But let's take it in context. What is the context of the phrase, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? The context is that we're not to be covetous and that we are to be content with what we have. That's the context. And I'm calling this the sacrifice of contentment. Now, the flesh is never content, right? And the unsaved are never content. And everything that we are bombarded with in this world is intended to make us discontented, is it not, with what we have. I got to have more. I got to have bigger. I got to have better. But God says, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. God says, if you have food and you have clothing, be content. If you have food on the table and you have clothes on your back, he says, be content. 1 Timothy 6, look at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith, what? Content. Food and raiment. And let's face it, with the flesh and the old man that we're carrying around, even those of us that are born again, contentment is a sacrifice against the flesh, is it not? To say, I'm content with what God has provided. I'm content with my circumstances. I'm content where God has me right now. That's a sacrifice because the flesh doesn't want to be content. The old man's never content. That's why he groups marriage in there. He says marriage is honorable and all, but he says whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge the people that are discontented with their marriage. And they go looking elsewhere. And everything around us is pushing us to be discontented. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And so the first sacrifice we see in this chapter is number one, kindness. Sometimes we have to sacrifice to be kind, but God will bless it. And the sacrifice of contentment. It's a sacrifice against the flesh to be content. Let's look at the third one, verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. By the way, verses 5 and 6 are a package. And again, if you're going to quote, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, make sure you get it in context of no covetousness, contentment, and no fear. And I'm going to call this third one the sacrifice of boldness. Does he not say there in verse 6 that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper? Show me one verse in the Bible where we're to ever be ruled by fear. And I'll show you 20 verses that say we're never to fear. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Amen. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. All through the scriptures we're told, fear not, fear not, fear not. We're told to be bold, which is the opposite of being afraid, by the way. And the devil is that spirit of fear and gives that spirit of fear. And if we let fear rule our lives, we're letting the devil win. So it's a sacrifice to say, I'm not afraid. What's the worst that man can do to me? But send me to heaven. Amen? It's true. David said, what can man do unto me? Jesus himself said, fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill your soul and your body in hell. Only fear God. But don't fear man. And don't fear this world. And I'm going to call that the sacrifice of boldness. Number 4, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. I'm going to call this the sacrifice of church and the Bible. Is it a sacrifice to be faithful to church? Well, obviously, since so many Christians aren't. But God commanded us to be faithful to church because he knows we need it. He knows that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He even mentions the pastor there. But the point is, God expects us to make this sacrifice, to be faithful to church, but also, as he says, to be grounded in the word of God, to be not carried about, verse 9, with diverse and strange doctrines. Christians that are grounded in the word of God don't get carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. It's only Christians who are not grounded, who are shallow in their understanding of the scriptures, who get carried about with every wind of doctrine. God calls them babies. Look at that in Hebrews chapter 5 quickly if you would. Hebrews chapter 5. But Paul said in Ephesians 4 that we're not to be carried about with every wind of doctrine in Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians, look at chapter 5 verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I personally think Paul wrote Hebrews, but we can't prove it. So whoever wrote Hebrews is referring to Christians who have not grown up as babes. He is not talking about necessarily new converts. What he's saying is Christians who haven't grown up. And God's definition of grown up, verse 14, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Christians that have grown in the Word of God, that understand the doctrines of the Word of God, and that consistently study the Word of God. Paul says they've graduated from the milk to the meat, and now they're not babies anymore. But this is a sacrifice to become mature in the Word of God. It is not automatic. It'd be awesome if we could put this under our pillow and wake up the next morning and soak some of it in. But that's not how God designed it. He commanded us to study and to meditate and to memorize and to read His Word. And as we read, to be faithful to church. Paul said to the Corinthians in chapter 5, he says, when you are gathered together, he didn't say if you're gathered together, he said, when you are gathered together, this is a sacrifice to say God's word and God's church are a priority in my life. That's a sacrifice. Number 5, verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Verse 14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We're told in Colossians chapter 3, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. But a lot of Christians look at this as their home. And God says, no, this is just a temporary place. Our home is awaiting us in heaven. Amen? And in the meantime, God here in verse 13 says, our fifth sacrifice is reproach. And again, in the Western world, we don't see that as much as a lot of cultures do, although it could be coming very quickly. God says, bear it. It could come your way. 2 Timothy 3:12, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a promise from God in His Word. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. This is Paul referring to him and the other apostles. He says, we're filth. We're the offscouring of the world. He said, that's how the world sees us, as filth. God says, don't be afraid to go outside the camp and bear some reproach for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's scriptural. If it wasn't scriptural, then he wouldn't have told us it would happen. But also, again, when we look at the great people of the faith in Hebrews 11, look at all the reproach they had to bear for the name of Jesus Christ. Get to the New Testament. John the Baptist. You think he expected to lose his head so quickly after starting his ministry? No. And then James, also beheaded. Peter, Paul in prison. Stephen, stoned to death. I mean, he just became a deacon. Didn't even get to be a deacon for a year before he was stoned to death. Was that God's will? Yes, that they go through that. And they're in heaven now. They've been there for 2,000 years. Amen? It is scriptural to bear the sacrifice of reproach for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because as he says in verse 14, this world's not our home. Number 6, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We need to get into the habit of praising the Lord all day, every day. Because God calls it the sacrifice of praise. But notice that word continually. Continually offering thanks to his name. We as a society become so ungrateful. But as Christians, there's no excuse. We're to be thankful for everything that comes into our life. James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. We're to thank God for everything. We're to be praising God every day, all day. David said, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments in Psalm 119, 165. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In everything give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It goes on and on. Be thankful for everything. Is it a sacrifice? Yes. But it's one that honors God, or he wouldn't have said so. And the 7th one, verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I've called this one the sacrifice of obedience. The last and most important. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is the love of God, 1 John 5:3, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. We're commanded to obey the commandments. If you go to James 1:12, God expects us to even endure temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We're going to be tempted. We're going to be tried. We're going to be persecuted. What does God say to do? Rejoice and serve the Lord. And so if we worked harder at it, we could probably pull some more out of this chapter. But I think 7's enough for us to try to digest. God says in verse 16, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is pleased with sacrifice. The Old Testament saints had to offer up innocent animals. We're to offer up these 7 things. The sacrifice of kindness, of contentment, of boldness, of being faithful to church and his word, of reproach, praise, and obedience. Sounds like we've got our work cut out for us. Amen. So picture it. Picture the Old Testament saints offering up those animals. And remember, every time that you offer up these sacrifices, it's well-pleasing to God. He doesn't want an innocent animal anymore. The innocent one died for us 2,000 years ago. Amen. The Lamb of God. We don't have to do that anymore. But he does command us to present ourselves a living sacrifice. He's worth it. We won't get to heaven and regret it, guaranteed. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have sacrificed so much for God. We're not going to say those words, are we? We might say the words, I wish I'd sacrificed more. But it'll be too late to change it. So let's do it down here. With such sacrifices, God says, He is well pleased. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for Your beautiful word. And thank You.